Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at Jesus, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask that your word will go forth with great power, not just here, Lord, where we are, but also as it goes out to the children in another part of the church. We pray, Lord, and ask that Jesus will be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is the last Sunday of the church year. It's a Sunday that we refer to as Christ the King Sunday. It's why we have white on the altars, and you'll notice from our readings, you'll notice from our music, the theme of the King. And I'd like to share a story with you tucked way back in the Old Testament, and maybe one that you're familiar with, perhaps not. It comes from 2 Samuel. It happens around 1000 BC. And it's about the events in the life of King David and a man named Mephibosheth. Just to give you a little background about the story, you know that David, of course, was the shepherd boy who God chose to be the second king of Israel. After Saul disobeyed, he sent Samuel to anoint David king of Israel. And David goes off to live with Saul in the kingdom, to be a musician for him, to actually fight wars for him and serve Saul. During this time, David and Saul's son, Jonathan, become very close friends, very good friends. They form a very strong friendship. Well, Saul becomes jealous of David because the people love David and he's beating the Philistines. And David senses that he's out to kill him. And he tells Jonathan this, "Your father wants to kill me." And Jonathan says, "Not so, not so." And David tells Jonathan, "Well, I'll tell you what, you're having dinner with him today, and you see what you think about what he plans on doing. And if you think he's going to kill me, I'll be out in this field after dinner. And you come out," and they worked out a signal, and Jonathan goes to the dinner, and he realizes, yes, his father Saul wants to kill David. And so he comes out into the field and tells David, and we have this moment, this very tender moment, where the two friends on two different sides now will never see each other again. They weep, they grasp one another, And Jonathan asks David to make a promise. He says, "Promise me, I know God will give you the kingdom. Promise me that when he does, you'll spare my family, you'll spare my children. Because what was done at that point in history, if a king went in and destroyed another king, immediately, the first thing that he did was to wipe out any heir to the throne. I mean, that was just understood in that culture, that was expected in that culture, that any heir, anybody in that family that was left in the opposing king would be put to death. To be an heir to the defeated king was, in fact, a death sentence. You were going to die if you didn't run. Well, Saul and Jonathan go into battle, and they both die in battle. And it brings us to 2 Samuel chapter 4. The time has come for David to be made king. It's a watershed moment for the Hebrews in the Bible, in history. David, the one that Christ, the line, the lineage that Jesus Christ would come through. The Messiah would come through this man. This man would be a great king. He was a man after God's own heart. And the time comes where he is made king. Now, what is going to happen to Saul's family? Jonathan had a son. And when this little boy was 5 years old, in the chaos of war, his nurse picked him up, and they were going to flee, and she dropped him. She dropped him, and he had a terrible accident. It sounds like maybe a spinal cord accident or something like that, but it tells us that he was lame in his feet. He couldn't walk. The Bible uses the word cripple, which we don't use anymore, but that's the language. Jonathan's son had this terrible thing happen to him. And when we get to chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, David comes forward and he says, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may kill him, right? Let's find him. Let's eradicate him. Let's get rid of them, because they're going to rebel. They're going to try and take over this kingdom. They're evil. Look what Saul did. Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Wow. What kind of king is this? What kind of king is this? Well, there happens to be someone. There does. Jonathan has this son who was dropped. And this terrible tragedy, his name is Mephibosheth. Two Hebrew words. The first means to dispel, to scatter. The second one means shame, to scatter shame. Mephibosheth lives in a place, and names in the Bible are so important. You know that. It's not just random. Whenever you come across any name in the Bible, you really want to study it and research a little bit, because there's a reason for a name. Mephibosheth lives in a place called Lodebar. Lodebar means no pasture. Lodebar means barren, dry. There's nothing there, okay? There's nothing there.
Mephibosheth is brought forward. He, of course, falls on his face before the king, expects to be put to death, knows that really by all of the customs of these people and the society at this time, he deserved to be put to death, okay? He deserved death. And so he falls at the king's feet, and the first thing David says is, do not fear. Do not fear. And David restores the land of Jonathan and all of the land of Saul to Mephibosheth. He says, there's going to be restoration. Our collect talks about the king who will restore things, right? Who will make things new. And so David said, I'm going to give you all this land back. And your servant, Ziba, and his 15 sons, they'll work the land, they'll take care of it, they'll do all the work. But that's not all. David tells Mephibosheth, you, however, will eat at my table for the rest of your days. You will eat at the king's table for the rest of your days. I think you know where I'm going with the story, right? A little boy in the chaos of battle. The tragedy of life is dropped. He's dropped while his family is on the run. He's damaged. He's ruined. He now lives in shame in a place called Lodibar, a barren place that's dry with no pasture. That, my friend, is our situation. That's what our situation was, and that's the situation of a life without Christ. People who do not know the King, damaged somehow, who knows how, in the chaos of life, right? Is it bad parents? Maybe. Maybe you had bad parents. Is it addiction? Is it the environment you were brought into? Who knows? All of us have our own stories. And all of those people out there that we know, they have their own stories. But they're damaged. The chaos, the tragedies of life have brought fear and shame. Like Mephibosheth, we find ourselves helpless, unable to do anything, unable to get out of Lodibar, unable to save our life, unable to do anything because of the fall, right? The fall. Not only the fall now that Mephibosheth's nurse had, but the fall that happened in Genesis that made us all damaged. Made us all damaged. And Mephibosheth is under the sentence of death, just as we are, because of our sins. If not for the sake of Jonathan. Mephibosheth didn't do anything to save himself. We don't know what kind of a guy he was. We don't know the first thing about him. But we do know about Jonathan. And David, because of who Jonathan was, the king spared Mephibosheth. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are spared. If not for the grace of the king, right? David sought out Mephibosheth. Everybody forgot about him. Nobody's talking about Mephibosheth. Who cares? He's some guy, he can't walk.
and he's living in some wasteland, and he's no problem. Forget about him. Forget about him. His life's a mess. Let him stay in it. Not David. David sought him out. Go get him. Go get him, because I want to show him kindness. That is the pursuing love of the king. It pursues people. It pursues us. It goes after. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The king shows grace. The king restores. Mephibosheth had nothing. Nothing. I will restore to you the land of your father. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there, because you're going to get a new identity. You're not going to be shameful Mephibosheth living in a wasteland. You're going to be at the king's table. You're going to be a child of the king forever. And have a place where only the king's children sit, only family sit at the king's table. This is our place as Christians. No longer enemies. No longer under the sentence of death, but sons and daughters to the king. Now there's more to the story. There's more. As you know, David's son Absalom causes a rebellion. And David is run out of town. Very humiliating. He and all of his stuff and his wives and his soldiers and everybody has to pack it up, and Absalom runs him out of town. And people are laughing at David. They're throwing rocks at him, okay? Mocking him. Terrible situation. But Absalom is defeated, and David comes back. And as David comes back into Jerusalem, one of the things that happened was that this servant of Mephibosheth, Ziba, he deceived David. He came riding out and he said, "My servant Mephibosheth has gone with his family. He's joined the rebellion, but I'm here to serve you." It was a deception. And when David comes back, Mephibosheth somehow gets out there to greet him. And David says, "Why did you rebel? Why did you turn against me?" And he says, "My lord the king, I did not. I was deceived. My servant made that whole thing up. I would never do that." Well, at this point, David has had it with violence. He's had it with war, you know. His son's dead. This terrible rebellion. And he says to Mephibosheth, "I tell you what, just forget about it, okay? Divide up the land. You take half, let your servant take half. I don't know who's right, I don't know who's wrong, but just forget about it. I'm tired of the violence." And you know what Mephibosheth does? Mephibosheth says, "I don't want the land. He can have it. He can have it all. I don't want him. I don't need it. The only thing that I want is to be with the king. It is enough for me to be in your presence. It is enough for me to be at the table with the king. What else is there? He can have all the stuff." That's the satisfaction that the king brings to our lives. Broken by the fall, living far from God, unable to fix ourselves, expecting and deserving judgment. But the king sends for us, and fear is replaced by peace, shame is replaced by belonging, loss is replaced with restoration, and we dine at the table of God. of grace. And so the king calls out to you and to people this day, come out of Lodebar. Come out. I will not destroy you. I will seat you at my table. Back in the 1970s, you may be familiar with a Christian group, the Bill Gaither Vocal Band. They were very, very popular, a lot of good music. And as I was working on this, you know, I just kept hearing that song. It's been so long. The King is coming. And what a great song. I encourage you to listen to that on YouTube if you get a chance. I read the background of it a little bit, and Bill and Gloria Gaither were just having some dinner some night, and people were over at their house, and they're talking about the Lord coming back, and they just got these words for this song, and they just almost, I think right there, sat down at the table and wrote this song. It's verse 2 that I want to read to you. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he set free. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow. Those who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. The King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. And now his face I see, the King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.